Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Yes, together we can remake the world. What we do is put forth the right effort and the world will be remade. And plan, plot, and scheme. That's all it takes to make something like that happen, to remake the world. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum. My name is William Green, and you are tuned to the Tuesday morning programming right here on American Muslim 360, The Lives of the Prophets by Ibn Kathir. We've been looking at and studying for the last couple of weeks. We've been talking about the story of Musa or Moses. And it has been a very revealing. I find it to be very revealing because we know what Moses had to go through, the way that Allah actually planned, plotted, and schemed for Moses to come about as a prophet. I mean, just the mere fact that he inspired his mother to put him in the river, and she did it, you know, on inspiration she did it, not knowing how it would work out, but Moses being picked up by the queen of Egypt, Pharaoh's wife, and convincing Pharaoh that she was a child. And he grew up in Pharaoh's palace. And, you know, he grew into an intelligent, right-minded human being. But then Allah made a circumstance and situation happen for him where he winded up killing an Egyptian. I'm sure, I don't know whether he was just angry or what, but he winded up killing an Egyptian, and we're told that he left. He had to flee Egypt with the clothes on his back. And when he fled Egypt with the clothes on his back, he's wandering, and he comes upon a water hole, where men are watering their cows, but, on the side there's, these women, and they need their sheep watered also. And he looks at the situation and he sees it and he says, well, why aren't you worrying to the women? Why aren't you worrying your camel? He said, well, the men are there. And so he said, look, I'll get your flock watered for you. And he does that. And they take the women, take their flock back to their father, and the father notices that. They're back early. And he said, well, how'd y'all get back here so early? And they tell the story of Musa and Moses. There was this man, and he got rewarded for us. And so the father said, you go back out there, invite him for dinner. I just want to, show my appreciation. And he does that. And anyway, it gets to the point where, he marries one of the daughters of this elder, and he works for 10 years for this elder for the marriage. He has to dedicate himself to the man and the family for 10 years, and he does that. And then he decides that I need to go back to Egypt. This is what Musa is saying. I need to go back to Egypt because, I haven't seen my brother and my mother for a long time. And also, the queen of Egypt, I know, that, but I just, I just need to go back. But in the process of going back, he kind of got lost. And he saw a fire up at the mountain, and so he tells his family, y'all stay right here. I'm going to go up to the fire and see if I can get some warmth and some direction. And when he goes up there, he finds out that he's on sacred ground and Allah starts to speak to him. So this was when he actually got his mission. Musa got his mission. And Allah performed a couple of miracles for him right there on the mountain and tells him, I want you to go back to Egypt. But I don't want you to go back to Egypt to see your mama. And I want you to go back to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And so he says, Moses says, I don't know if Dad could do that, but, if you tell me to do it, I'm going to do it. But, send my brother Aaron with me because he can talk better than I can talk. And so Allah said, okay. And then go back to Egypt. So Moses, can you imagine? He comes out the desert. And he's got a crime against him. And he's going up to see the Pharaoh. I mean, the Pharaoh's got, golden arches, just hundreds of guards and servants, but the Pharaoh knows him. And so when Moses comes he says, I'm here to see Pharaoh. And so, Pharaoh's like, oh, okay, Moses, I ain't seen you for a long time. What's going on? And he said, Moses tells him, says, I'm cool, I'm going to go. But then they get down to the nitty-gritty of it, and he says, listen, man, I've been so sent here to tell you, man, you got to let my people go. And so then that's when it gets a little contentious. And anyway, Pharaoh's like, we got a crime against you. So don't come in here popping game and don't come in here like that. And so Moses said, but I can show you proof. And so he said, you want to show me proof? And so he throws down his rod and it turns into a snake. And then Pharaoh sees this and said, you want to do magic? You got magic? I got the best musicians. He said, I got the best magicians. And so he said, yeah, and what we're going to do, we're going to bring all the people together, and this is going to be a battle. It's like a hip-hop battle. It's like a dance battle. You know, it's like, yo, you're going to get your magician, you're going to be a magician, I'm going to get my magician, and we're going to see who wins the day. Well, Moses winds up winning the day, and Pharaoh is like confused. He's like, look, I had the best magician. Pharaoh said, you know, you, as a matter of fact, Pharaoh said to Musa, said, you must have been the one that had taught them, you know, my magicians. You must have been the one that taught them. I mean, he's trying to find any excuse. Anyway, that bought Moses a little time with Pharaoh because, you know, like, you know, the word started going around that, oh, man, you know, Musa, Moses, man, he defeated the magicians, you know, Pharaoh's magicians. And so this is going away to not only for the Egyptians, but for his people. So his people kind of see that, you know, like he got a little power going on. And so then he comes back and says, yeah, you know, we want you to let our people go. And he said, no, we ain't going to let them. He said, well, look, if you don't, you know, you're going to get some, what did you call it? Some... Well, I know that it was frogs, it was locusts, it was all these different afflictions that were coming upon the Egyptians and Pharaoh that Pharaoh didn't have any control over because it was coming from the creator of the heavens and the earth. And Moses told him, so listen, if you don't let the people go, we're going to send these afflictions on you and Pharaoh was like, look, you ain't going to send nothing on me. Anyway, when Pharaoh found out that he couldn't control the situation, you know, he told Moses, he said, listen, tell your God to, you know, go ahead and take this affliction away and we'll let you go with the children. We'll let the children go with you. And so, you know, it's, okay, well, I'll stop the affliction. And when he stopped the affliction, you know, Pharaoh went back on his word. And, you know, he went back on his word not once or twice, but he went back on his word several times. Several. That's what it says. Several times he went back on his word. And in the process of going back on his word, it gets to a situation where it finally gets where Moses says, well, look, you know, we're going to a festival, and the festival is going to be outside the city. And what wound up happening is that the people who believed with Moses wound up leaving the city. It's like they were escaping from the city at night. And they were going toward the river. And when Pharaoh found out, he sent his army after them. And it got to a point where you had the army coming on one side and you had the river on the other and the people panicked. But Moses didn't panic. And Moses said, yo, fear not. And then, you know, he used his rod and next thing you know, the river opened up and the people were able to escape. And Pharaoh and his people drowned. So the point is that all of these miracles were taking place with Moses, and the people were witnessing his people, the people of the book were witnessing it. And even though they got to the other side and they were safe, when they got over to the other side and, you know, they were on their way to, you know, the promised land, they called it, and they said it was Palestine. When they got across, Moses had to leave them to go to congregate with his Lord. And so he told him, he said, yo, I'll be gone for 30 days. And he left Aaron in charge, his brother. And when he left him in charge, you know, the people then concocted the story of the golden calf. So what was interesting is that Moses told them it was going to be for 30 days, but it winded up being for 40 days, and the people got restless. So this is where we start with the story. So the story of the golden calf, Moses' people turned to idolatry. And that this is interesting because, you know, here it is, all these miracles have been taking place for the people of the book. Moses had done all this for the people of the book. And this is what they did. Moses had been gone for 40 days, and his people were becoming restless, but they did not know that Allah had extended his time by a further 10 days. Samiri, a man who was inclined toward evil, suggested that they find themselves another guide, as Moses had broken his promise. He said to them, in order to find guidance, you need a god, and I shall provide one for you. This is what Samiri said. So he collected all their gold jewelry, dug a hole in which he placed the lot, and lit a huge fire, melted it down. During the casting, he threw a handful of dust, making actions like a magician to impress the ignorant. From the molten metal, he fashioned a golden calf. It was hollow, and the wind passing through it produced a sound. Since superstition was embedded in their past, we talk about the people of the book. And, you know, they were also from Egypt. I guess there was a lot of, you know, suspicious stuff. Since superstition was embedded in their past, they quickly linked the strange sound to something supernatural as if it were a living god. Some of them accepted the golden calf as their god. So Aaron tries to reason with the idolaters. Moses' brother Aaron, who acted as their leader in Moses' absence, was grieved and spoke up, "Oh, my people, you have been deceived. Your Lord is the most beneficent. Follow and obey me." They replied, "We shall stop worshiping this god only if Moses returns." Those who had remained steadfast in belief separated themselves from the pagans. Moses sees the idolaters. A lot of times, see, this is how it is. This is how it is as far as human beings are concerned. So Moses sees the idolaters. On his return, Moses saw his people singing and dancing around the calf statue. Furious at their paganistic ritual, he flung down the tablets of the law he was carrying for them. He tugged Aaron's beard and his hair, crying, "What held you back when you saw them going astray? Why did you not fight their corruption?" And Aaron replied, "Oh, brother of my mother, let go of my beard. The foe considered me weak and were about to kill me. So make not the enemies rejoice over me, nor put me among the people who are wrongdoers." Moses' anger began to subside when he understood Aaron's helplessness, and he began to handle the situation calmly and wisely. But you see, I mean, they were going to kill the man. They were going to kill the man, you know, over this golden calf. So Almighty Allah narrated, this is from Quran, they said, "We broke not the promise of you of our own will, but we were made to carry the weight of the ornaments of the Pharaoh's people. Then we cast them into the fire, and that was what Al-Asamiri suggested. Then he took out of the fire for them a statue of a calf, which seemed too low. They said, 'This is your God and the God of Moses.'" But Moses had forgotten. So that's what they said. "This is your God and the God of Moses." But Moses had forgotten his God. Did they not see that he could not return to them a word or answer, and that it had no power either to harm them or to do them good? And Aaron indeed was said to them beforehand, "Oh, my people, you are being tried in this. And verily, your Lord is Allah, the most beneficent. So follow me and obey my order." They said, "We shall not stop worshiping the calf until Moses returns to us." That's Surah 20, verse 87 through 91. So the conversation between Allah and Moses, or Musa. Okay, all right. Allah the Exalted revealed some of the dialogue that took place between him and Moses on Mount Sinai. "And what made you hasten from your people, O Moses?" He said, "They are close on my footsteps, and I hasten to you, O my Lord, that you might be pleased." Allah said, "Verily, we have tried your people in your absence, and and Asamiri has led them astray. Then Moses returned to his people in a state of anger and sorrow. He said, O my people, did not your Lord promise you a fair promise? Did then the promise seem to you long in coming, or did you desire the wrath should descend from your Lord on you? So you broke your promise to me, disbelieving in Allah and worshiping the calf? That's Surah 20, verse 83-86. Now, these are the same people that left Egypt with Moses, went through all those trials, came to the river, crossed the river with Moses, settled in the land. Moses leaves them for a minute, and they go right back to worshiping the golden calf. And so Moses says to them, you know, did not your Lord promise you a fair promise? And we talk about the people in the book. Did then the promise seem to you long in coming, or did you desire the wrath to descend on you? So you broke your promise to me, disbelieving in Allah and worshiping the calf? So Moses sees the idolatry. Allah the Exalted revealed what happened further on Moses' return. This is Quran also. Moses said, O Aaron, what stopped you when you saw them going astray? That you followed me not according to my advice? Have they disobeyed my order? He said, O my son of my mother, seize me not by my beard nor by my head. Verily, I feared lest you should say you have caused a division among the children of Israel, and you have not respected my word. Moses said, And what is the matter with you, O Samiri? Why did you do so? Samiri said, I saw what you saw not. So I took a handful of dust from the hoof print of the messenger and threw it into the fire in which were put the ornaments of Pharaoh's people and into the calf. Thus my inner self suggested to me, Shaitan, of course. Moses said, Then go away, and verily your punishment in this life will be that you will say, Touch me not. You will live alone, exiled, away from mankind, and verily, for your future torment, you have a promise that will not fail, and look at your God to which you have devoted. We will certainly burn it and scatter its particles to the sea. Surah 20, verse 83-98. So, the idolatrous punishment. However, the punishment which was imposed upon the calf worshippers was severe. Excuse me. It was death. Remember when Moses said to his people, O my people, verily you have wronged yourselves by worshipping the calf, so turn in repentance to your Creator and kill yourselves, kill the wrongdoers among you. That will be better for you in the sight of your Creator than he accepted your repentance. He is the one who accepts repentance, the most merciful. Surah 2, verse 54. You know, the most important thing about, you know, doing wrong that we're told from the very beginning about Adam and Eve, is that, yeah, they did wrong by eating from the tree. They did wrong. But what they did is they repented. That was the important part. So it's not like the human being won't do wrong. I mean, Adam and Eve did wrong. Point is that they turned to their Lord in repentance for the wrong that they did. So that was the same thing here. When Moses said to his people, O my people, verily you have wronged yourselves by worshiping the calf. So turn in repentance to your Creator and kill yourselves. The innocent kill the wrongdoers among you. That will be better for you in the sight of your Creator. Then he accepted your repentance. Truly, he is the one who accepts repentance, the most merciful. That's from Surah 2, verse 54. Therefore, the crime of worshiping the calf did not pass unpunished. Moses commanded the elite of the people of Israel to pray to Allah for forgiveness. Again, repentance. And demonstrate their repentance. It's not only to pray for their repentance, but to also demonstrate the repentance. He chose 70 out of them and ordered them, rush towards Allah and repent for what you did and ask for forgiveness for what is you left. So Moses' people demand to see Allah. Here we go. So Moses returned to Mount Sinai with 70 elders, and there he communicated with Allah. The elders heard Moses speaking with his Lord. Allah spoke to Moses directly. This was, perhaps, the last miracle that they would see, and it was hoped that it would be sufficient enough to convey the religion to their hearts forever. However, the 70 elite who heard the miracles were dissatisfied. They said to Moses, "Oh, Moses, we shall never believe in you till we see Allah plainly." Ain't that something? That's from Surah 2, verse 35. They said, "Oh, Moses, we shall never believe in you till we see Allah plainly." This was a tragedy that amazes one. It was a tragedy that indicated those who were hard-hearted and who continued to hold on to sensual and material concerns. Their stubborn demand was rewarded with punishing lightning bolts and a violent quaking that stupefied their souls and body at once, leaving them dead. Okay, so this is what this story tells us, okay? But I think that, you know, another way for us to basically look at it is that, I mean, the audacity of people to even say that. "Oh, Moses, we shall never believe in you till we see Allah plainly." We got to see him. So Moses prays for his people. They go for Moses is going through all of that. I mean, he's going through, his whole life has been, you know, just miracles and, you know, trying to help these people, and they still are hard-hearted. "We shall never believe in you till we see Allah plainly." So Moses prays for his people. Moses knew what had happened to the 70 elite was filled with sorrow. He prayed to his Lord, entreating him to forgive them, for they were fools. I'm telling you, this is what the fear is saying. Moses prayed for the 70 elite that was among the people. And he prayed to his Lord, entreating him to forgive them, for they were fools. Foolishness is only expiated by death. Allah forgave the elders and revived them after their death. Allah, the exalted, declared, all right, so let's see what this actually means in the Quran. Moses chose out of his people 70 of the best men for our appointed time and place of meeting. And when they were seized with a violent earthquake, he said, "Oh, my Lord, if it had been your will, you could have destroyed them and me before. Would you destroy us for the deeds of the foolish ones among us? It is only your trial by which you lead astray whom you will and keep guided whom you will. We are our wali, our protector. You are our wali." Talk about Allah. "You are our protector. So forgive us and have mercy on us, for you are the best of those who forgive and ordain for us good in this world and in the hereafter. Certainly, we have turned unto you." So here it is again. You know, this is asking for forgiveness. It's not that the human being won't do wrong, that he won't think wrong, won't feel wrong. But the point is that once you realize that this has been the wrong way to think, this has been the wrong action, then it's important to ask for forgiveness. So he said, "As to my punishment, I afflict therewith whom I will, and my mercy embraces all things. That mercy I shall ordain for those who are the mutakun and give zakat, and those who believe in our ayahs, those who follow the messenger, the prophet, who neither read nor write," talking about Muhammad, "whom they find written with them in the Torah and the gospel." Now, that's from Surah 7, verse 155 to 157. And then they also quote, it's in Deuteronomy 18 through 18. And it's also in Psalms 118 from 22 to 23. And Esau, the book of Esau, Surah 42 chapter 42, 1 through 13. But there's a bunch of places that is shown here. So he commands them from Al-Ma'ruf, Islamic monotheism, and all that Islam has ordained, and forbids them from disbelief. He allows them as lawful, all good, all things that are good and lawful, as regard things, deeds, beliefs, persons, foods, and prohibits them as unlawful, you know, all evil and unlawful things, as regards to things, deeds, persons, and food. He releases them from their heavy burden of Allah's covenant. Wow. You got that? He releases them from their heavy burden of Allah's covenant. So the covenant between them and Allah seemed to have been a heavy burden for them. So Allah released them from the heavy burden and from the binding which was upon them. So those who believe in him, honor him and help him and follow the light which has been sent down with him, it is they who are successful. Surah 7, verse 155 to 157. And we're going to take a pause for the cause, and we're going to actually play a PSA.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so now we move forward in the story by the stories of the prophets by Ibn Kathir. And this is a story of the story of the Israelites and the cow, the pious man and his son. So Moses stayed among his people, calling them to Allah. It seems their souls were uneasy in a way that the observant eye could not mistake. Their obstinacy and chattering about what has become known as the story of the cow was unwarranted. This topic did not need so many negotiations between Moses and the people, nor did it need all their biases. Anyway, it was said that among the people of Israel, the children of Israel, there lived a pious man. He was poor but very careful about how he earned the living. It had to be honestly earned. Everything that he did was done for the sake of Allah, never for selfish gain. On his deathbed, his last words were, "O Allah, I place my wife, my sons, and my only possessions, a calf, in your care." Strangely, he asked his wife to lead the calf to the forest and leave it there. He did this because he did not trust the children of Israel, but they were a selfish and greedy people. After all of that Moses had brought them to, the human being, this is how the human being is. You know, selfishness and greed is in the human being. He said he did not trust them because, you know, they were a selfish and greedy people at that time. That's where they were at in their development. After a few years, when the boy had grown up, his mother told him, "Your father has left you a calf in the trust of Allah. It must have grown into a cow by now." The son was surprised. He did not know of any calf all these years and asked his mother where it was. She replied, "Be like your father and say, I trust in Allah, then go look for it." Okay. Yay, yay. Oh, man. With a rope in his hand, he went to the forest and prostrated himself before Allah. "O Allah, Lord of Abraham and Jacob and Job, return to me my father's trust. As he raised his head, he saw a cow coining towards him. It stopped submissively beside him. He tied the rope around its neck and led it to his house. The cow would not allow anyone else come near it except the young man. The youth was as pious as his father. He earned his living by cutting wood. Whatever he earned, he divided into three equal portions. One he gave to his mother, one he used for his needs, and the last he gave as charity. His nights, too, were divided into three parts. During the early part of the night, he helped his mother. The middle part he devoted to the worship of Allah. And during the last part, he rested. So this is the story, if it got to you. The people asked questions about the cow. After this, a wealthy man died, leaving behind an only son who inherited his father's wealth. His cousins envied his good fortune and secretly killed him so that they could inherit it. The dead boy's other relatives came to the prophet Moses and asked his help in tracing the boy's murderer. Moses instructed them to slaughter a cow, remove its tongue, and place it on the corpse. This would reveal the murderer, he said. They accused Moses of joking, he replied. Allah forbid that I am foolish. They questioned him about the type of cow they should slaughter, and he said, this cow is neither young nor mature, but in between the two conditions, so do as you are commanded. This is in the Quran. Instead of following his directions, they asked him more questions. What color must it be? He replied, verily, it is yellow in color. They still were not satisfied with his answer and asked for more detail. Moses replied, it is an unyoked cow. It does not plow the soil nor water the tilth and is entirely without mark. So Moses' people find the right cow. They went on in search of such a cow. The only one that matched the description was the one owned by the orphan youth. They met him on the way and asked the price for which he would sell the cow. The young man told her he would have to consult his mother first. So he accompanied him to his house and offered her three gold coins. She refused their offer, saying that the cow was worth much more. They were on increasing their offer, and the mother kept on refusing. Finally, they urged the son to speak to his mother to be reasonable. He told them, I will not sell the cow without my mother's approval, even if she offered me its skin filled with gold. On hearing this, his mother smiled and said, let that be the price, its skin filled with gold. They realized that no other cow would do, that they had to have it at any price. They agreed, and they bought the cow and paid for its with its skin filled with gold. So, the people are asked to slaughter a cow. This is from the Quran. Allah, the Almighty, narrating. And remember when Moses said to his people, verily, Allah commands that you slaughter a cow. They said, do you make fun of us? He said, I take Allah as refuge from being among the ignorant or the foolish. They said, call upon your Lord for us that he may make plain to us what it is. And he said, verily, it is a cow neither too old nor too young, nor is it between the conditions, so do what you are commanded. They said, call upon your Lord for us to make plain to us its color. He says it is a yellow, bright cow, bright in its color, pleasing to the beholder. They said, call upon your Lord for us to make plain to us what it is. Verily, to us all cows are alike, and surely, if Allah wills, we will be guided. So he says, it is a cow neither trained to till the soil nor water the fields, sound having no other color except bright yellow. They said, now you have brought the truth. So they slaughtered it, though they were near to not doing it. And remember when you killed a man and fell into the dispute about yourselves to the crime, but Allah brought forth that which you were hiding. So we said, strike him, the dead man, with a piece of it, the cow. Thus Allah brings the dead to life and shows you his ayats, his proofs, so that you may understand. Then after that, your hearts were hardened and became as stone, and even worse in hardness. And indeed, there are stones out of which rivers gush forth, and indeed there are of them stones which fall down for fear of Allah, and Allah is not aware of what you do. It's not unaware of what you do. Surah 2, verse 67 through 74. Okay. So I'm sure that there's a lot in that. But one of the things that I'm seeing is just the relationship of people. I think that's what it's really telling us about being commanded to do something and the hesitation that was involved in that. They were hesitant, not sure. And a lot of times this is how people are. They want to make sure what it is that they do. Okay, so this is the story of Moses and Elkita. So Moses is informed of a wise man. One day Moses delivered such an impressive sermon that all who heard it was deeply moved. Someone in the congregation asked, "O messenger of Allah, is there another man on earth ever more learned than you?" And Moses replied, "No," believing so. So Allah had given him the power of miracles and honored him with the Torah. I mean, Moses was a powerful dude. He was a powerful prophet. He was powerful. You know, all the miracles he had done, you know, and honored him with the Torah. So the people asked, is there another man on the earth more learned than you, even? And no, not me. So, however, Allah revealed to Musa, or Moses, that no man could know all there is to know, nor would one messenger alone be the custodian of all knowledge. There would always be another who knew what others did not. Moses asked Allah, "O Allah, where is this man? I would like to meet him and learn from him." He also asked for a sign for this person's identity. Allah instructed him to take a live fish in a water-filled vessel. Then when the fish disappeared, he would find the man he sought. Moses set out on his journey, accompanied by a young man who carried the vessel with the fish. They reached a place where two rivers met and decided to rest there for. Instantly, Moses fell asleep. So Moses finds Elkita. While he was asleep, his companion saw the fish wriggle out of the vessel into the river and swim away. However, he forgot to relate the incident to Moses. When he awoke, they continued their journey until they were exhausted and hungry. Moses asked for his morning meal. Only then did his companion recall that the fish had brought them with them had gotten away. Hearing this, Moses said, "This is exactly what we were seeking." They hurriedly retraced their steps to the place where the rivers met and where the fish had jumped out. There they found a man, his face partially covered with a hood. His bearing showed he was a saintly man. He was Elkita, the guide. So what's interesting about, you know, you've read this in the Quran, so have I. It's a lot of times, you know, I would say that, you know, it's mysterious. And it's mysterious because, you know, it's just the whole idea of taking a fish, putting them in some water and carrying them, and then the fish escaping and then saying, "Well, this was the place that we wanted to be." You know, the whole idea about the cow, you know, we want to find the murderer. And then, you know, being told, "Well, take the tongue of the cow and place it on the body and you'll find the murderer." You know, these things just don't make logical sense. But these are things that are in the Quran. So they're just things that, you know, we might not necessarily understand. So we have to go with it until Allah brings about understanding, inshallah. So Moses finds Elkita. And remember when Moses said to his boy servant, "I will not give up traveling until I reach the junction of the two seas or until I spend years and years in traveling." But when they reached the junction of the two seas, they forgot their fish and it took away its through the water as in a tunnel. So So when they had passed further on beyond the fixed place, Moses said to his boy servant, "Bring out our morning meal." Truly, he had suffered much fatigue in their journey. So this is when the boy said, "Do you remember when we took ourselves to the dock? I indeed forgot the fish. None but Satan made me forget to remember it. It took its course into the sea in a strange way." Moses said, "That is what we were seeking." So they went back, retracing their footsteps. Then they found one of our slaves, unto whom we had bestowed mercy from us, and whom we had taught knowledge from us. Surah 18, verse 63-65. Moses speaks to Elkanah. Moses said to him, "May I follow you so that you teach me something of the knowledge, guidance, and true path which you have been taught by Allah?" So he said, "Verily, you will not be able to have patience with me. And how can you have patience about a thing which you know not?" So Moses said, "If Allah will, you will find me patient, and I will not disobey you in aught." He said, "Then if you follow me, ask me not about anything till I myself mention it to you." So they proceeded. So they both proceeded. So when they were in the ship, he scuttled it. Moses said, "Have you scuttled it in order to drown its people? Verily, you have done an evil thing." So Al-Kidda said, "Didn't I not tell you that you would not be able to have patience with me?" Moses said, "Oh, call me not to account for what I forgot, and be not hard upon me for my affair with you." Then they proceeded. So they both proceeded. So when they were in the ship, he, Elkanah, scuttled it. Moses said, "Have you scuttled in order to drown his people? Verily, you have done an evil thing." He said, "Did I not tell you that we will not be able to be patient with me?" So they both proceeded till they met a boy. He, Elkanah, killed him. Moses said, "Have you killed an innocent person who had killed none? Verily, you have done a great, evil, dreadful thing." So Elkanah said to him again, "Did I tell you that you cannot have patience with me?" So Moses said, "Oh, if I ask you anything after this, keep me not in your company. You have received an excuse from me." So they proceeded. So when they came to the people of the town, they asked them for food, but they refused to entertain them. Then they found therein a wall about to collapse, and he, Elkanah, set it straight. Moses said, "If you had wished, surely you could have taken wages for it." Elkanah said, "This is the parting between me and you. I will tell you the interpretation of those things over which you are unable to be patient." Musa, Moses, or whatever it is that your name is. Of course, I put that little part in at the end. "As for the ship, it belonged to poor people working in the sea. So I wish to make a defective damage in it, as there was a king after them who seized every ship by force. And as for the boy, his parents were believers, and we feared lest he should oppress them by rebellion and disbelief. So we intended that their Lord should change him for them for one for better in righteousness and nearer to mercy. And as for the wall, it belonged to two orphan boys in the town, and there was under it a treasure belonging to them. And their father was a righteous man, and your Lord intended that they should attain their age of full strength and take out their treasure as a mercy from your Lord. And I did it not on my own accord. That is the interpretation of those things over which you could not hold patience." Surah 18, verse 66-82. So Moses seeks Elkanah. Oh, let me just say this here. If you have a question or you'd like to make a comment, you can always press 1 on your phone. I've got 10 minutes left in the program, and you're welcome. Okay, so Moses seeks Elkanah. The story of Moses and Elkanah is also told in a hadith. Sa'id ibn Jabbar said, "I said to Ibn Abbas," who claims that Moses, the companion of Elkanah, was not Moses, the prophet of the children of Israel, but some other Moses. Ibn Abbas said, "Allah's enemy has told a lie. The Ibn Kab told us that the prophet, once Moses stood up and addressed Bani Israel, he was asked who was the most learned man among the people. He said, I. And Allah admonished him, as he did not attribute absolute knowledge to him. So Allah said to him, yes, at the junction of the two seas, there's a slave of mine who is more learned than you. So Moses said, how can I meet him? I want to meet this guy. Take a fish and put it in the large basket, and you will find him at the place. So Moses took the fish and put it in the basket and proceeded. Okay. Which is what we've been talking about. The boat and the retracted, Moses talked to Al-Qaeda, and he greeted him, saying, how do people greet each other in your land? Moses said, I am Moses. Moses greeted him, and he said, how do people greet each other in your land? Moses said, I am Moses. The man asked Moses of Bani Israel. Moses said, yes, I have come to you so that you may teach me from those things which Allah has taught you. He said, oh, Moses, I have some of the knowledge of Allah which Allah has taught me and which you did not know. You have some of the knowledge of Allah which Allah has taught you and which I do not know. Moses asked, may I follow you? He said, but you will not be able to remain patient with me, for how can you be patient about things which you will not be able to understand? So Moses said, you will find me, if Allah so wills, truly patient, and I will not disobey you or. So both of them set out to walking among the seashore. A boat passed by them, and they asked the crew of the boat to take them on board. The crew recognized Al-Qaeda, so they took them on the boat and dipped its beak once or twice into the sea. Al-Qaeda said to Moses, oh, Moses, my knowledge and your knowledge have not decreased Allah's knowledge, except as much as this sparrow has decreased the water of the sea with its beak. Then suddenly Al-Qaeda took out an adze and pulled up a plank, and Moses did not notice it until he had pulled up a plank with the adze. Moses said to him, what have you done? They took us on board, charging us nothing, yet you have intentionally made a hole in their boat, and so as to drown its passengers. Verily, you have done a dreadful thing, Al-Qaeda replied. Did I not tell you that you would not be able to remain patient with me? Moses said, do not blame me for what I have forgotten, and do not be hard upon me for my fault. So the first excuse of Moses was that he had forgotten. That was the first excuse. When they had left the sea, they passed by a boy playing with other boys. Al-Qaeda took a hold of the boy's head and plucked it with his fingertip as if it was plucking some fruit. Moses said to him, have you killed an innocent person who had not killed any person? You have really done a horrible thing. Al-Qaeda said, did I not tell you that you could not remain patient with me? Moses said, if I ask you about anything after this, don't accompany me. You have received excuses from me. Then both of them went on until they came to some people in the village, and they asked of its inhabitants for food, but they refused to entertain them as guests. Then they saw therein a wall which had collapsed, and Al-Qaeda repaired it. I'm reading the story, brother and sister. Repaired it just by touching it with his hand. Moses said, these are the people whom you have called on, but they neither gave us food nor entertained us as guests. Yet you have repaired their wall. You had wished you could have taken something from it. Al-Qaeda said, this is the parting between you and me, and I shall tell you the explanation. The prophet, peace be upon him, we wish that Moses could have remained patient by virtue of this. I think this is the prophet Muhammad. The prophet, peace be upon him, added, we wish that Moses could have remained patient by virtue of which Allah might have told us more about their story. And may Allah bestow his mercy on Moses. If he had remained patient, he would have been told further about their case. And that's from Sahih Bukhari. So the death of Moses. So I got 5 minutes. Let's see what's going on here. The death of Moses. Yeah, we're going to see if we can finish it up. The death of Moses' suffering. Moses suffered terribly from his people and endured much for the sake of Allah. And Abdullah ibn Umar narrated, once the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, distributed something among his companions. A man said, this distribution has not been done with justice seeking Allah's countenance. I went to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and told him of that. He became so angry that I saw the sign of anger on his face. Then he said, may Allah bestow his mercy on Moses, for he was harmed more in a worse manner than this, yet he endured patiently. The children of Israel mistreated Moses a lot. His agony was not limited to mutiny, stupidity, chattering, ignorance, and idolatry. It exceeded this and went as far as inflicting personal harm on him. So Allah commanded, O ye who believe, be not like those who annoyed Moses, but Allah cleared him of that which they alleged, and he was honorable in Allah's sight. Allah clears Moses of false rumors. Abu Huraira narrated that Allah's messenger, Muhammad, said, Prophet Moses was a shy person who used to cover his body completely because of his extensive shyness. One of the children of Israel heard him by saying, he covers his body in this way only because of some defect in his skin, either leprosy or hernia, or he had some other defect. But Allah wished to clear Moses of that which they talked about him. So one day while Moses was in seclusion, he took his clothes and put them in a stone and started taking a bath. When he was finished the bath, he moved towards his clothes so as to take them, but the stone took his clothes and fled. I'm just reading, brothers and sisters. Moses picked up his stick and ran after the stone. I'm just reading, brothers and sisters, saying, O stone, give me my garment, till he reached a group of children of Israel who saw him naked then and found in the best shape of what Allah had created. And Allah cleared him of that on what they had accused him of. The stone stopped there, and Moses took it and put on his garment and started hitting the stone with his stick. I'm just reading, brothers and sisters. But Allah, by Allah, the stone still had traces of the hitting 4 or 5 times or more. Oh, you can believe. Allah Almighty refers to this in his saying, oh, you who believe, be not like those who annoyed Moses, but Allah cleared him of what they alleged, and he was honorable in Allah's sight. Okay, so we got a telephone call, 972-467, assalamu alaikum. Your microphone is open.
Walaikum assalam, Ishmael, family in Dallas. Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
What's up?
Good. Just real quick, I think when we're normally taught scripture as being taught as reality, so I think that is a lot of times when you're talking, it kind of confuses a lot of people because we look at it as reality and not really translated to wisdom and science. I like in the Bible how they call it the golden calf. They call it the golden calf in the Bible, but in the Quran they call it yellowish in color. From my understanding, gold is like wisdom, you know. And that wisdom, it was yellowish. It wasn't gold because the wisdom that they learned from Egypt was corrupt scheme on human potential. So that scheme they were using was used to manipulate people instead of to lead them to the right way. And I think that's when the sea separated, it separated, you know, the waters from the land. Picture it. You think of the splitting of the Red Sea, you see the two waters part, but it's really the water separating from the land to give you dry land to walk on. So I think, me personally, I kind of try to look at it more, not in reality, but more in like, say, wisdom and science. And for me, that helps me understand these stories, in my opinion, a lot better. That's all I got. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, wa alaikum assalam. So the question is, do you think that the people have actually made a golden calf out of their jewelry and things like that?
I wouldn't say that they I wouldn't say that they didn't. I mean, you can take it as reality, most definitely. I wouldn't say, well, no, it wasn't physically done, but I try to look at it, you know, more from a different sense. But no, I would not just come out and say, no, it didn't happen in reality. No, I'm just saying that. But I think we a lot of us are just taught strictly in reality instead of looking at it, you know, because it kind of jumps all over the place with that story with Moses. When you read it doesn't seem to go in chronological order. So to me, it's really talking about something deeper, you know, and that's my thoughts on it. But no, I would not come out and say, no, it wasn't actually done. No, I would not say that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's the part that is, well, you know, just me personally, when it starts to get into the, you know, all the, you know, the deeper parts, like a stone chasing a stick. I mean, it's like,
right.
That's not a reality.
You know? That made me think of Rolling Stones. That made me think of the meeting of Rolling Stones, you know, and that's what I was thinking too.
yeah. So, you know, when it goes into me, just me personally, when it goes away from the reality and it starts to get into something a little more serious, I just have to do it like that. Because some of it, the way that it's written, sometimes it's written like that in the Quran. And so, you know,
exactly.
I just have to go
exactly.
with it. You know, it's something I just don't understand. And, you know, I just got to go with it. But, you know, what I don't question it to that degree. I just say that, you know, this is part of, you know, this is part of the Quran, or this is part of the story. I really don't understand, so I just let that find open. And I just try to stick more to the reality of things. If I can find the reality in it, then I go with it. But in the more mystified parts, I just kind of leave it alone. Unless, you know, like this is me personally, that you know, Allah blessed me with some kind of sign to understand it. And I think that's what you're saying, too. And because you're right, you know, when people hear it, that's like, you know, it can be, it sounds confusing. You know, it's like, okay. Okay. Well,
I agree.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
So, you know, we're out of time. But yeah, I really appreciate Ishmael, you know, coming on and making that comment, because that was a real comment. But what we want to do is we want to leave you. And I thank you. I thank everybody that came on to listen as we move forward in the story of Musa. And inshallah, I think that was it. I think that was it as far as Musa was. Oh, yeah, it's the death of Moses. Okay, so, you know, we'll just go from the death of Moses, and then we'll go on to the next prophet, which will be Ezekiel. Okay, so, you know, we're going to close down now with a PSA. Again, I thank you so very much, brothers and sisters, for being with me. We're going to, don't forget to tune in today at 10 a.m. for Why Muslim Americans Don't Want to Get Married. It's going to be an interesting show, inshallah. Would be interesting. Let me see. There's something else that's going on. Right. It's all about courtship and marriages today at 7 p.m. on American Muslim 360. It's all about courtship and marriage. Will be on today. So make sure that you tune in. And then on IWDM Radio, Science and Health Learning Lab with Masheed Salam will be on at 7 p.m. also. Okay, so we're going to go with Depreciate Hagdi and then MCNRD Social Connect. And until next time, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Depreciate Hagdi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month. 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.